Hello, friends, and welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and encouragement you need. Thanks for bringing us along. And now, your host, Lynette Ezell.
Hey, everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for your time, for being a subscriber, and for joining us again today. We just want to bring you a word of encouragement, especially to families who find themselves struggling with helping their adopted or foster children, teenagers, young adults walk into a trusting relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so I found this DVD series, this teaching I really want to share with you today. And so welcome, Arthur Woods. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Lynette. Yeah, thanks so much for even letting me be on the show. I'm excited to be here.
We're so it's just so exciting to have you. Tell us a little bit, just kind of give us some reference here about your family and how you started speaking into the lives of foster and adopted teens.
Sure. Well, about 5 years ago, the Lord kind of placed on my heart this kind of desire, this passion for pursuing adoption, and spoke with my wife about it, and over time she kind of got on board with it as well, and we started to pursue it. And we don't have the time for me to tell you our entire 5-year journey, but it has been challenging. That we've had some adoptions that fell through right at the last second.
That's really hard. That's so hard. It is. We hear those stories
horrible.
A lot. Yeah.
It's been horrible. And we, you know, in the same sense, it's been horrible, but it's also been a blessing. we had a couple of international adoptions fall through, and then we made the decision to pursue foster care right here in the United States. And that's kind of where we are right now. We've got two foster girls that we're moving toward adoption on.
Oh, that's exciting. And how old are the girls? Are you in teen? Are you in the teen mode? Or are they little? Or?
Yep, we have one of them is 12, and then the other one is turning 14 next month.
Oh, you're knee deep.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. I really do. I love when I hear you and Elizabeth share on your podcast. You tease and say that it's just been a super easy process.
Super easy. If anyone ever tells you adoption is hard or foster care is hard, just tell them they're wrong. It's super easy.
Yeah, just go the other way with it. That's right. That's right. No, it is. It just takes a lot of, I'm trying to say it is a challenge. And just parenting, though, like, right? Parenting's a challenge.
That's exactly right. And you know, I think back to your podcast recently where you guys asked yourself the question, am I really into parenting?
Exactly.
Like, before we even talk about, do I want to adopt? Do I want to foster? Do I want to parent?
That's right.
That's a good question.
It really is. We need to ask ourselves, because you guys ended your podcast. You did, 10 sessions, and you ended your podcast with 10, was it 10 questions?
Yes.
They're really, really good. I've been listening to those, and it really makes you stop and think. I wish I had had that teaching 15 years ago. But you do have to ask yourself, like, we get caught up in the moment of, yes, okay, we have an empty bed, and this child needs a home. But this is for eternity. This is a forever decision. And so that's what I love about your teaching, what the Lord's laid on you all's heart, because it is taking a child by the hand from incredibly hard places, from a life where they've never been able to trust anyone, and taking them by the hand and saying, we want you to trust our God.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. That's been kind of a passion of mine for a couple of years now, is helping these kids from hard places who may just have some barriers to embracing God and embracing the gospel because of what they've gone through in their past.
Absolutely. And so tell me how the Lord began to lay this on your heart. Like, when did you see the need to really help families understand how we may have to go at this in a different way, in an unconventional way of helping our teens see their need for a relationship with Christ? Like, when did the light bulb come on for you with this?
Sure. I would say probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I was a youth pastor for about 10 years, and so I worked with teenagers, and I worked with a lot of adopted and foster teenagers and a lot of teenagers from hard places. And I started getting consistently seeing some similar barriers to the gospel from these kids that were very clearly based on it, stuff that they had experienced in their past. So, for example, one of the most clear examples is the gospel teaches us that God is our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, depending on your experience with your earthly father in the past or even in the present, you may not want to fully embrace God as Father. You may not like the term Father. You may have a skewed version of what a father really could be or should be. And I started, as we kind of went through the gospel, thinking there's so many concepts here in the gospel and themes in the gospel that really could be a struggle for some of these kids to fully embrace because of what they've been through. And so we started unpacking those gospel concepts and saying, you know, trying to put ourselves in their shoes, both by speaking with them directly, like how is this for you? And started just kind of putting together a curriculum, a video series that really unpacked these gospel concepts and helped parents work with these teenagers to help them fully embrace these gospel concepts.
Yeah, you talk a lot about trauma-informed discipleship. You know I'm all over that. I love that. And so, goodness, I wish I'd had this teaching years ago. You believe we have to really bring that to the table. And so discipleship, that's an intentional relationship built upon Jesus. Like it's our relationship with him, becoming more like Jesus. What do you mean it's got to be trauma-informed discipleship?
Yeah, it. You know, we hear so much these days about trauma-informed classrooms and trauma-informed counseling and therapy, and those are great. You know, I thank God that there's practitioners and teachers that are able to counsel and teach from a trauma-informed perspective. And that's not me in terms of I don't have a counseling degree or a teaching degree. But from a discipleship perspective, what does it look like to share the gospel, to tell these kids about God through the lens of trauma? So as we understand their backgrounds, we understand their hurts, we understand what they've been through, asking ourselves the question, how does that affect what they believe about God? And then how can we help them through that and process through that and pray through that to the point where they can begin believing some of these difficult gospel concepts like Father, like love, like forgiveness, like control, like adoption, all these different themes that are throughout the entire Old and New Testament may be really difficult for some of these kids to embrace.
Man, it really is. And, you know, I've seen that you feel like you're going forward and then you'll have days you just kind of go backwards and you realize, are my words, are they just bouncing off of a blank wall here? That's what you feel like sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, the thing that we have learned, I know you know this, and it takes time and patience.
Yes.
And it's never going to be listen to this podcast or buy this curriculum or read this blog and then we've got it all figured out. You know, our kids will just, you know, hop in line as we want them to. It's still going to take intentional time and patience. But as long as we are intentional about it, I do believe that we can get our kids to a point where they are embracing God as their Father and really believing and trusting in what God says in his word.
Yeah, let's talk about teens here that I tell you something that has not helped with parenting teens from hard places or from grief and loss is social media. Just not been much of a help. So teens really battle understanding their identity, and so they're going to grasp onto an identity that they feel like makes, you know, that they feel more accepted in their social circle, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And so you add to that years of brokenness, never having anyone to trust, maybe all the adults in their life just lied or they were, institutionalized, all of that, and add up on top of that loss of bio parents, maybe not even knowing their early story, continual mm-hmm. trauma. When you put all that together, it really is difficult for them to grasp that God is my Father. Jesus
yes.
loves me. He died for me. And all
yes.
of that can be a barrier. And so it's so important that you talked about the podcast Tara and I did, Are You Really Into Parenting? Are we willing to walk through that daily relationship with them? And by doing so, modeling, don't you think it's so important that we're modeling who Jesus is to these kids? Do you go into that deeper in your DVD series?
A little bit. We do talk about modeling and setting the example, because I think you're 100% right. We can speak all the words we want.
Right.
But if our kids don't see Jesus in our example, in our behavior, in our life, then we might as well not say anything. And I think so modeling and setting the example is huge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, we're broken and fallen as well. And so that's why I think that's why I say some days it's 3 days forward, you know, 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. But how are you able to use the kids' stories, these teenagers, young adults, to kind of tie the gospel into their lives? Like, are you able to reach back and help them kind of put the pieces together?
Sure, to a degree, because, again, I want to make it clear that we're talking about discipleship. So we're not talking about counseling. There are incredible counselors and therapists that can kind of piece together the past and handle that from a mental health perspective. But what we're doing is helping them see God in spite of or in light of their past. And we do use their stories to help them do that. And in fact, let me continue. I'll use that example of God is our Father.
Yeah, again. Yeah, let's do.
If I understand what my foster or adopted child or teenager went through with their father, let's just say for example, they went through abuse and some significant neglect, and they have a really tainted version of what a father is. And like I said earlier, then they're not going to be quick to embrace what God is offering as being a father, because they just think it's going to be more of the same. And so what we do is instead of looking at that as a comparative analogy, in other words, you know, God is like a father, you know, you have a father, God is like your father. We actually use it as a contrasting analogy where we say, okay, this is what you experienced here on earth from a father.
Yeah.
But now we're going to contrast that.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, this is what God is offering you as a father. And this is the way that he loves you, with this 1 Corinthians 13 agape love. This is what he's offering you. This is what you experienced, but this is what he's offering you. And so I think the contrast, making that contrast very known and very separate, is really important when you're sharing the gospel with these kids.
Wow, that is great. That agape love and just doing that contrast where you're not just saying your past doesn't matter. Like, we're pushing that aside. We're not going to mention that anymore, because it's not their whole story, but it is a chapter in their story.
Yes.
You know, and so we do have to take steps in that and saying, God's bringing all of that together. God is working in your life. You also talk about gospel-informed answers, and I love this. I love it. When kids have questions, and I know you've already touched on that some, but can you go into that a little deeper, what you mean about gospel-informed answers?
Well, I think certainly when we're having a conversation about God, it's always just bringing it back to the gospel. And to kind of define gospel, or at least in the way that we use it, is really the story of God restoring his creation back to himself. So it starts in Genesis, goes right on through Revelation, and is even being lived out here in 2020, you know. And to say, okay, whatever your question might be, let's see how that fits in to the gospel story. And there may not be always a specific verse that answers exactly what your question is at that time. Because, you know, if there was, we would all you know, probably enjoy
easy.
That.
You know, it'd be great.
Way too easy. We want to discern what the will of God is. I want to look up a verse that says, Arthur C. Woods, this is what you should do tomorrow. Like, boom, done. No, it's not usually that easy. But I do think that as we understand the gospel, and as we help them understand the gospel, we can help them think through their past, their present, their future through the lens of the gospel.
Yeah, and it really helps them to see that even though that has happened to me, if you look all through the Old Testament and the Gospels, it's the Lord pursuing us even out of our brokenness.
Yes.
And there were so many obstacles and difficulties and suffering, and through it all, the Lord was still wooing His people to Himself. And like you and Liz have said in your podcast, to no fault of their own, some of them, right?
Yes, that's
Joseph,
exactly right.
Joseph put in the pit, and then all that God was able to use that for, you know, when Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God has used for good. I think the story of Joseph is just, it's a story I use so many times with my kids to say, yes, this did happen. That was not good. It wasn't. But God is a God that restores. God is a God who rescues. And so having those gospel-informed answers when they want to talk about when they're ready, and a lot of times it's shoulder to shoulder and not eye to eye, right? It's when you're driving somewhere, when you least expect it.
Driving in the car is a great way to have these conversations.
Yes, it really is, because they don't feel so intimidated by, you know, just looking deep into their eyes and trying to get them to talk. But
exactly,
it does go back to that trust. That I love what you all say, that you have to learn to trust God first. And, you know, you asked this question, and I was really thinking about this over the weekend. What needs to be in place? Asking my child, just go through that question, what you ask them when they're struggling with trusting.
Sure. This is a question that my wife and I use in a lot of circumstances in our life. But in this context, if we're working with a teenager or child from a hard place that are struggling with trusting God and or trusting people, we ask them the question, what would have to be true in order for you to begin trusting this person, or in order for you to begin trusting God? And we literally just have them list it out, write it out. You know, what are the one or two or three or six things that would have to be true? And let's kind of process through that list and say, can we make some of these things true? Can we work on actually making some of these things true? So it's not just a matter of, well, I struggle with trust issues, and we just kind of take it there and say, okay, well.
Well, you do. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. But rather, how can we step you through a process that gets you to a point where you're trusting God? And certainly when you can trust God, it becomes a lot easier to trust the people that He's put in your life. And we're talking about trusting the good people. There are certainly people in our lives, and a lot of these kids have experienced this, that should not be trusted. So there's a discernment, there about who we should and shouldn't trust. But instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater and just saying, well, I don't trust anyone, we want to help you trust the people that God's put in your life that you should be trusting.
And I love that you say, write this down. Let's make a list. What needs to be true? What needs to be in place for you to begin trusting God? Can you think of some things maybe you've heard teens say that needs to be in place for them to trust God?
Sure. Well, I think one of them that comes up is forgiveness.
Oh, wow.
And this is, oh my goodness, this is so tough. And forgiveness and trust do tend to go hand in hand, as do a lot of these concepts. But if you could get to a point where you can forgive a specific person, you can get to a point where perhaps you can begin trusting that person. So we've had those conversations where it's like, you know, I don't trust this person, I don't forgive this person. Well, let's work on trying to get you to forgive this person. Maybe that's a good starting point. And before you know it, you might even be able to trust them as well. And again, we're talking about people that should be trusted. I think that's important. We don't want these kids to just trust everyone now, because unfortunately not everyone is trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be one example.
And I think when they make the list too, it kind of empowers them. Like, I have a voice and my voice matters.
Yeah.
And that goes into control. I mean, it really helps them see, okay, I bring something to the table here. I have value.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned control, and you're so right. So many of these kids have grown up with zero control in their life.
Right.
They've had some really, you know, maybe not good people controlling their life, or even in some cases had some good people who were controlling their lives, but they're just so used to being controlled, and they get to a point, especially in their teenage years, where they're just done being controlled. And to hear that, you know, there's a God that's asking you for, you know, to kind of give control of your life over to him, boy, that can be a hard thing.
Right. Yeah. They don't want to sign up for that too quickly. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So control's another big kind of gospel concept that can be a big barrier.
Yeah. And what about, I guess we all struggle with this, but God has set eternity in the heart of man. But sometimes, and this goes back to trust, I think kids from vulnerable kids who have been through grief and loss, not been able to depend on anyone in their life, or just been, you know, shuffled through a system, just the idea of forever, eternity.
Yeah.
Have you found that to be hard for them?
Yes, very. Because unfortunately, a lot of these kids have been told forever before. We've worked with kids who were in foster homes that they thought would eventually become their forever home.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't. We've worked with one kid in particular who was part of a disrupted adoption where she actually was adopted, and then the adoption just got disrupted, and again she found herself not being in what she thought was going to be her forever home. And so once you start hearing forever and it ends up not being forever,
right,
it's really difficult then to grasp this idea that we can actually spend forever, eternity, with God, our Heavenly Father.
So tell me a little bit more about the DVD series. I've really been looking into those. Cannot wait to watch those. You go more in depth with each of these things, right?
Yeah, we certainly do. A few years ago, I was at the Christian Alliance for Orphans Summit, the CAFO Summit.
Right.
And I was kind of wandering through the ministry booths and seeing what was available. And what I noticed is there were so many incredible ministry resources for parents of adoptive and foster children. And there were a lot of incredible ministry and discipleship resources for children who had been adopted or live in foster care. And where I saw kind of a lot missing was that there wasn't really anything that was specifically targeted toward the discipleship of adopted and foster teenagers.
Mm.
There's a lot for children, there was a lot for adults, but nothing really for teenagers. And I thought, what if we could come up with a curriculum or a series that helped parents disciple their teenagers from hard places? And so that's what we did. It took months to put together. It probably took over a year for us to put all the components together. And it's really designed as something that a parent could go through with their adopted or foster teenager, or even a youth pastor or small group leader could go through with an individual or small group of adoptive and foster teenagers. And we just wanted something that says that addresses the specific and unique needs of teenagers, understanding their past, and then helping them embrace the gospel message of Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's just beautiful. I encourage everyone to at least start with going to your 10 recordings that you and Elizabeth released together, trusting the God of the gospel, and hearing those, and they kind of whet your appetite to get you like, oh, I got to have those DVDs. And so we'll put that in our show notes, how everyone can get those. But, you know, and you ended it, like I said, with those questions that even parents should ask themselves, because God has called us. I think in the teenage years and the young adult years, the way that kids were raised before they were able to join our homes, the inconsistencies, the neglect, we can tend to navigate back toward those things. I've seen it time and time again. And just really being able to embrace Jesus, to rest in, the Lord loves me. He died for me. He called me out by name. He chose my birth date. He's reigning in the middle of my life, and he has a plan for the end. It's so very difficult for them to grasp, and it's heartbreaking. And you're right. There's not a lot out there to help us through this season.
Yeah, and hopefully this can be really valuable to your listeners. Like you said, the podcast is Trusting the God of the Gospel, but the name of the video series is also Trusting the God of the Gospel. Our desire from day one is that parents or youth workers could really just use this as a tool to help disciple these teenagers from hard places, these adopted and foster teenagers who are struggling embracing God, and they need something a little different. You know, we're not talking about presenting a new gospel. The gospel message doesn't change, of course, but how we kind of frame that, how we communicate that, and how we understand their past really can make a big impact on their ability to embrace it.
No, the entire series, everything you teach is completely focused on knowing the Lord and knowing his truth. You even focus on Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you. Well, you got to know him.
Yes.
How important is that?
Yeah, I mean, how many people do you trust in your life that you don't know?
Right.
I mean, there might be some rare circumstance where you have to put your trust in someone that you don't know, but 99.9% of the time, you trust someone because you know them. And that is such a key starting point. You know, how do you learn to trust God? Well, start by getting to know God. And how do you start to know God? Well, spend time with God. I mean, I think of the relationship I have with my wife. We didn't get married the day we met.
That might be
a surprise to you, but we didn't get married the day we met. I got to know her by spending time with her, and we developed a loving and trusting relationship. And then I asked her to marry me, and surprisingly, she said yes. And we've been happily married for 20 years.
Oh, I love it.
And so I think that's a similar relationship where you can have with God to, let's just start by getting to know him. You know, maybe you can't trust him on day one, but you can start getting to know him on day one.
Well, Arthur, it's been so great to talk with you today, to just kind of help us start thinking this way, and especially for families who are just entering, you know, middle school with their kids and entering high school. Mine are older now. My youngest is already in high school. I can't believe it. We almost have empty nest here. But and especially for our listeners, I really hope that you'll take the time to really dig into trauma-informed discipleship and then having the gospel-informed answers to share with your kids while you're doing life together and you're building relationship and trust. And I am so grateful the Lord laid this on you all's heart.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. That has been, I do feel like that is something that God said, hey, you need to do this, you know, and you need to kind of spread the gospel through this particular struggling kind of demographic of adopted and foster teenagers.
Absolutely. It's been a void, and we are very grateful for the work you've put into this. So thank you, Arthur C. Woods, for joining us today, for your time, for being so transparent, and really for just taking that year and just focusing on this project, because I know the Lord is going to use it in so many lives for his glory and for their healing.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Lynette.
Thank you.
This has been the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast, a ministry of Send Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can find more and subscribe at sendrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us part of your journey.